Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today I'm joined by film and entertainment journalist Kasam Looch, who's the lowdown on this week's film releases. We're ticking off a few Hollywood stereotypes on today's show with big-budget action thriller San Andreas, British rom-com Man Up, and a tale of an aging musician trying to repair his relationship with his family whilst rediscovering the art of his songs in Danny Collins. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Welcome to the show, Kasam. Great to have you with us as ever. Let's kick off. Let's start big with the big blockbuster, San Andreas. Dwayne Johnson is starring as Ray, an LA fire department rescue helicopter pilot searching for his daughter after a series of earthquakes, aftershocks, even a tsunami, just for good measure. It's quite a lot of natural disasters to fit into one picture. Does the director, Brad Peyton, pull off the trick?
Well, Brad Peyton's worked with Dwayne Johnson, and I'm glad you didn't call him The Rock, because he hates that right now.
So. I'm full of respect. Anyone who's that physically intimidating, I'll call him what he wants to be called.
Well, absolutely. I mean, he's like the biggest special effects in the film. I mean, he's so huge. You kind of have to stretch a bit of credibility giving him the title of a helicopter pilot. So he's a search and rescue helicopter pilot in this. And following a big earthquake along the San Andreas Fault, he is tasked with finding his family, leaving the job he's supposed to be doing, which is saving everyone else. But he's going to go and find his daughter alongside his estranged wife.
And this is a kind of small plot device that I often think it's worth pointing out. On his superior saying, hey, Dwayne, you know, what about all these other thousands of helpless souls?
Yeah, you only care about his daughter and his wife. So, yeah, that is a rescue mission. And there's not much else to it. Paul Giamatti's in this. And, you know, he's great in so many other films. And he's great in this as well. Not given much of a role, but he is the guy who realizes that an earthquake is imminent. And it's his job to get the message out there. You don't see them on screen together, Dwayne Johnson and Paul Giamatti. But he is along there, along for the ride, saving a handful of lives along the way as well.
And is that a sort of nod to the character actor then? Just saying, well, if we'll put Giamatti in there, that'll keep the critics happy. Is that enough?
Well, yeah, you've got to throw someone in there. I mean, then again, they do throw in Kylie as well in a very small role.
Well, I was going to ask you about this. This is extraordinary. Why does she pop up? She's not there for very long, as you say.
She's not there for very long. I won't spoil it, but I think we get a total of two lines from her and in a very strangled accent as well, which I couldn't dare guess which it was, but yeah.
Let's actually listen to some of this on-screen magic. Let's have a clip. This is where Ray and his wife are trying to overcome a tsunami in their boat. Let's take a listen.
Ray?
I see it! All right, hold on. We got to get over it before it crests.
That's the sound of real human drama right there, Kasam. Now, let me ask you, this is one of those movies where clearly they're packing in the thrills and spills. And I imagine that can kind of sustain the aficionado for, I don't know what, 3/4 of an hour, 60 minutes, just over. Is this a film that has that kind of slight second act problem, maybe?
Yeah, to be honest, end of first act problem as well. But it's you know, as a spectacle, as big entertainment, as a pure blockbuster, you can't really go wrong. The special effects are fantastic in this, so we should give a nod towards them. Very convincing in terms of all of the special effects. Like you mentioned, there's a tsunami thrown in there as well as the earthquake. So, you know, there's everything going on. All of the action is kept on screen as much as possible. The great thing about Dwayne Johnson is you certainly feel like he can do a lot of the things that he's asked to do. So, you know, whether it's hanging off the side of a building or jumping through caverns and so on, you know that if anyone was going to do it, Dwayne Johnson was going to do it.
And is this film a realistic depiction of what would happen if there were to be some kind of terrible tremor in the San Andreas Fault? I don't know if you're a seismologist or a geographer or whatever it would be.
I've left that hat at home,
unfortunately. Is this a faithful account? Or is there, I imagine, a little artistic license?
There's a little bit of leeway given to how a lot of the characters would react. And Ewan Griffith in this film plays a very caricature villain. And, you know, he reacts exactly as you'd imagine someone snivelling along in the background would do so. Probably not realistic in those terms. But, you know, the effects are very convincing. So you're certainly taken there, as it were, by that.
So maybe one for the kind of 3D, the full 3D experience.
Yeah, go all out. 3D, IMAX, whatever you can get it.
That's San Andreas, which is showing at cinemas now around the world. Let's jump genres next, Kasim, and talk about, from action-adventure to rom-com. Man Up is the tale of a blind date gone wrong when Jack, played by Simon Pegg, reinvented as a romantic lead. Who knew? Mistakes a woman he meets at a train station for his blind date. This woman is Nancy, played by Lake Bell, and she goes along with the situation, pretending to be the woman Jack was hoping to meet. Before we hear your verdict, Kasim, let's hear the moment in the film where the two characters meet.
Hey, what a great way for us to recognise each other. Right? What a great idea. Although I think it would have been pretty hard to miss you underneath that huge clock.
No.
What do we do in terms of saying hello? I've never known. I'm not. What a pitch. Is it a handshake? Or is it a hug? I mean, is it formal? What? You know what? We're adults. You know, let's just go in. Oh, too soon for that. Nope. Hello there. oh my God, that's not your emergency exit phone call already, is it? Because, I haven't had a chance to use any of my best lines yet. That wasn't one of them, if you were worried. I'll tell you what. Listen, I'll handle this, madam. Hello, caller. Yes, we have met, and I am not a complete psychopath, and we've really hit it off, and she will call you later with all the gory details. So thank you for calling, and goodbye. Done. All right, so book, check, and clock, check, and blind date, check.
That sounds like sort of, you know, the classic new Simon Pegg. So, you know, still a little kind of awkward, a little nerdy, but with this new sort of, leading man persona. Does he have the, I don't know, the sort of acting clout to carry off that kind of role?
He's got a swagger in this. He does have a Hollywood swagger, obviously heightened by the fact that he's writing the new Star Trek film and he's going to be in the next Mission Impossible film as well. So he's got that kind of, coming with him. He does feel very much like a Hollywood leading man in this very British film, which is, something quite unique. It's a British rom-com, which, I think we've seen bad ones, we've seen a few good ones, and so that might be what puts people off.
Now, interestingly, he's the sort of Brit trying his hand at Hollywood leading man, and he's playing opposite Lake Bell, who's an American actress doing the sort of the British, the British accent, and seemingly carrying it off with real Alan. Is it another sort of Bridget Jones-esque transformation that she undertakes?
It really is, yeah, and then she's got a lot of English mannerisms in this film as well, kind of travelling on the underground and dealing with public transport in the way most of us would, which is when faced with someone annoyingly reading out excerpts from their latest book, you kind of ignore them. And she's got that perfectly nailed.
And how does this film unfold then? Is it kind of classic rom-com territory? Does it, because apparently there's quite a few of the critics delight in, some of the writing here. It's quite sassy, quite fresh, because, a lot of these are old tropes. We've seen them a few times before. Is there some freshness here?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really do much outside of the standard rom-com conventions, but they do manage a few neat touches. And London plays a really big part in this film. So you see a lot of the sites that people will have possibly gone on dates on as well. Set over the course of 24 hours, the date itself, and you follow the characters throughout. And you see them evolve, which is quite rare again in these sort of films. Lake Bell in particular is really good at developing her character. You see a lot more from her, and you even meet her family later on.
And I gather there's another couple of sort of nice little cameos in here. We've got Rory Kinnear in a sort of typical bit of scene stealing. It sounds like it's a good fun barnstorming yarn, is it?
It is, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I was surprised how much I liked it. Like I said, a British rom-com, I went in dreading it, to be honest. But they do really well. Ophelia Lovibond as well is the girl who Simon Pegg is supposed to meet in the film. And then she comes back and they kind of reinvent her character in a quite clever way as well.
Now, one thing that always intrigues me about movies like this, it sounds so quintessentially British, you've said already a couple of times, it's the standard sort of British rom-com. Does this have travelling legs, do you think, Kasim? Is this the kind of movie that could get, I don't think it's got a release in the US at present, but is it the kind of movie that could work? You've already mentioned that Simon Pegg is now known to, a wider audience, but does the humour travel?
I mean, yeah, the humour is quite safe. So they certainly don't go any way gross out. And the director himself did In Between Us. So that's had international success on a large scale that people weren't expecting. And I think that's what they want to bring over with this one. Lake Bell isn't a huge actress in terms of her star power yet, but I think this could be one of the roles that, brings people to her.
Could be the breakout moment for her. Well, Man Up is rolling out in cinemas across Europe. It'll hit some other markets, Singapore, New Zealand too as well, imminently. Let's end by talking about another comedy, a little different. The focus is on an ageing musician played by the great Al Pacino. The film's called Danny Collins and follows Al's character as he's inspired by a letter that John Lennon wrote to him back in the 70s and decides to make changes to his hard-living life, including attempting to repair relationships with his family. Catherine, where do you stand on the sort of great Al Pacino debate? Because a lot of people suggest that, you know, he turned in, I don't know, some of the greatest performances ever, Godfather 2, possibly the best piece of screen acting you'll ever see. But he's tended to slightly dial it in recent times. What do we get from him with Danny Collins?
I mean, I'm certainly on the scale of he has been lazy in some of his more recent roles. In this one, he doesn't really get an opportunity to be lazy. It's a very full-on role. He has to be committed to it. He said himself that he's based his aging rocker on Rod Stewart and Barry Manilow. So as a combination,
that's powerful chemistry right there.
That is it. You know, I mean, imagine if he played some of his other roles, like that Scarface or, like you say, Godfather 2. That would have been amazing. But he's, you know, you see him, as you say, playing this aging rocker who received a letter from John Lennon after John Lennon's death, and it was delayed in delivery to him based on a true story, which is really fascinating. There is a folk singer who got a letter from John Lennon long after John Lennon's death. And they obviously take a lot of liberties with this. It's more focused on Al Pacino trying to repair his relationship with his son, played by Bobby Cannavale.
We'll talk a bit more about some of the supporting players. Let's hear a little clip first of all. This is from Danny Collins. It's Al Pacino chatting to his manager, who's played in this movie by Christopher Plummer.
I want to cancel the rest of the tour.
I'm sorry?
I'm not sorry. I'm done. Right? Done. So help me God, I will never be forced to sing those songs again.
Danny, you're spiraling. Are you on something? What are you taking?
I'm done with all of that, too. No more. No more drinking. No more drugging.
No, you're drinking right now, Danny.
True. Let's forget about what I said about drinking.
How does it work, Sam, when you obviously got the, you know, he is this fading rocker. You know, music obviously plays a role. Do they manage to carry that off? Does he seem like the authentic musician? Does he have the kind of musical craft?
Well, you get to hear Al Pacino sing, which is not something I ever expected to hear or see on screen. And he carries the tune in the way that you imagine he would, but that's part of the charm of the film. That relationship, like you mentioned, between him and his manager is fantastic. That's kind of the heart of the film, aside from the family relationship that develops afterwards.
Well, now you mentioned the family relationship, and there is some great supporting players. You've got Annette Bening, Bobby Cannavale as Tom, Danny's son. Any standouts for you amongst the kind of supporting cast?
Yeah, Bobby Cannavale is a guy who you will have seen in a number of other films, never as a leading man, but this is a role where you can, you know, he's genuinely believable as Al Pacino's son and Danny Collins' son, which is, you know, quite a rarity to find someone who can do that. He pulls it off. He's certainly one of the standouts in it as well. And it's just a great role for Pacino as well. There probably aren't that many coming his way nowadays, but when they come, he seems to grab them with both hands.
Now, it's interesting, if you sort of read in the trades, there was quite a lot. This movie was kind of in production for some time. I think there'd been a couple of tilts at it before, and even some of the supporting players, there'd been a bit of rotation through the roles. Steve Carell had been in, Jeremy Renner at one point. Julianne Moore, I think, was once mooted to take the Annette Bening role. When you get that kind of chopping and changing, does that in some respects portray or betray the fact that maybe some in Hollywood aren't quite sure about the direction the film's going in, their confidence that maybe it's going to be something that's going to get the sort of critical success?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pitch it. When you mention it's about an aging rocker, you think it's a musical, and it's not. When you talk about some of the people involved, you think it's going to be a serious drama, and it's not. The director, Dan Fogelman, did Crazy Stupid Love, one of my favourite comedies of the last few years, but it's not an outright comedy as well. So it's very hard to pitch. It's one where, you know, you probably couldn't tell someone to go in and watch it on the basis of selling it as a comedy or as a drama or as a musical, but as a combination, it really works.
So you don't think it possibly falls victim, that slight, you know, fall in between two stools where it doesn't quite know what it wants to be or the journey that cinematically it wants to take you on?
There are moments when you think it's veering too far one way, and then there's a couple of dramatic incidents that happen in the film that drag it back quite forcefully. You can imagine maybe given free rein, Al Pacino could have overacted in those scenes, or the director could have probably gone one way or the other, but someone somewhere on this production has been reining it all in.
So he doesn't lapse into that kind of hooah, you know, territory, which, you know, I'm happy for him to occupy it, but it's not quite...
Apart from when he's thrusting and gyrating on stage, as he's meant to. No, he reins it in as well.
Heaven forbid. Look, Sam, that's Danny Collins, which is playing in cinemas globally right now. We shouldn't make you choose, but if you were directing our listeners to head to the cinema and take in just one of these pictures, what would you urge them towards this week?
I would plump for the unexpected hit gem that is Man Up, a British rom-com with real heart.
There you go. That's the verdict of Kassam Lucas. Kassam, thanks very much for joining us, as always. On the Monocle Arts Review, you've been listening to the show with me, Tom Edwards. Thanks to our producer, Holly Fisher, and researcher, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again on Monday. We'll be talking the best in art. But for now, thanks very much for listening and have a great weekend.